Tonight, while I was in Los Angeles, California, I picked up 300 of each of the books that I'm about to introduce to you because I believe they could be a tremendous blessing to everyone involved. Here's one entitled The Korean Miracle. I'm going to tell you about Prayer Mountain in just a minute. This church bought a mountain overlooking North Korea, just right outside of Seoul, 30-acre mountain. They built on top of that mountain a place where people could come and pray. They dug prayer grottos all through it, little caves where people could come and put a little heater and where they could pray. They say you can hardly go up there without 1,000 people laid on their face before God, calling on the Lord. There's a reason why that a church will run 40,000 people. You see, the hard things come by fasting and by prayer. If you believe that, say amen. It's the only church I know that has a minister of prayer. That's right. And that minister happens to be the pastor's mother-in-law. He said to me, she's such a believer in fasting and prayer that sometimes she just won't feed me. And I have no excuse. I just can't eat. She won't feed me. He went on to say, I don't think I get anything out of it but hungry. You know, he's kind of a practical guy. But he may not be the power that rocks the thing anyway. It could be those people that feel the ministry of prayer. How many believe in prayer? If you do, say amen. This book is all about the miracle of prayer that God has done in Korea. Here's another one entitled Successful Living. There's the picture of that great church in Seoul, Korea. There's the congregation there. It's a thrilling book that tells of the miracle written by the pastor of the church, of that great church that has sprung up from nothing in 19 years to be the greatest church in the world. Here's another one caught, and here's another one that's entitled Caught Up in the Web. The way they got the title was somebody said once you go to one of their Bible groups that you get caught in the web and you just can't get away. It's kind of like that. They are so powerful and the people love them so much and they follow up so much that he made the title, this is about the prayer groups and how they operate. So many of you want them. I think this book is $2.50 and this one's $1.50 and this one's $2.50 if you desire them. And I thought while I was at it, I'd just throw in one of the book that we just got. There's only 500 copies of them. And it's a book entitled Successful Christian Living. The reason I announced this book is because it is said that 15 of America's greatest preachers share their secrets in there, but I would say 14 of America's greatest preachers plus Pastor Barnett's in there. Amen. So if you'd like to get this book, it's a hardback. It's a $5.95 book, and it was put out by Doug Weed. Doug Weed was the fellow who compiled this book together, and it's by many of the pastors that God's used across the nation, interdenominational. And we happen to have a sermon there, and I thought you might be interested in obtaining. We only got one box. And Joe, I didn't tell you, but get out the West Side Story. We've only got about 65 West Side Stories back there. They're $2.95 if you desire to purchase them. They're the last 65 out of 5,000 that were published. They're all over the country. And this week, I got a letter from George Foreman, the former heavyweight champion of the world. He wrote a 5-page personal letter that was typed. I mean 5 pages of typed letter. He was so turned on. I mean, it wasn't a form letter. He was so turned on by the West Side Story book that he read that he wrote a 5-page letter back. And he said that when he makes that tour that he's planning that we'll be on the list. And God even used the old West Side Story to be a part of the motivation of the heavyweight champion of the world. And everybody that thanks God for that, say a good amen. And so God's doing wonderful things. These books, and I'm sure this will be the last of the West Side Story, so if you want a souvenir copy, save me about 5 of them, because someday I may want to show my great-grandchildren that, they may want to read about their granddad someday along the line. So save me 5 of them. Don't sell the last 5 back there, because it's a souvenir. And by the way, Brother Himry of the Cathedral Tomorrow, who wrote the book, is going to come and visit us in October, and he's going to write an update to the book, and we're going to publish it again. But this is a part of the original book, and I know that it'll be a blessing to you. And now tonight, the message that I'm bringing is actually an old message, but maybe just a new motivation. May the Holy Spirit bless it to your heart. Now, Lord, bless these words and this messenger, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. For you that are visiting tonight, originally, and of course you know by now, we announced it in the bulletin, we announced it Wednesday, we announced all day Sunday, and you that get our bulletin know that the reason that we did not have the singers with us tonight, the Festival of Praise, and I'm sure most of you, if not everybody knew, could not be here tonight because of a date mix-up. They will be here not next week. Jerry Goff will be here, a favorite around West Side, and the following week, the Festival of Praise will be here. And by the way, you won't be able hardly get a seat that night, I'm sure, as we expect this place to be filled to utter capacity that night. 2 weeks from tonight, not next week, but the next week, 80 wonderful voices, over 80, and they will bless your heart in a marvelous way. We're just about to enter a different era in our church. A new time, and we believe a time of unparalleled blessings in our church. You see, I'm convinced that you always have to be a student. Every one of us ought to be willing for new ideas and expansion. And I would like to say to the church now, do not be bound by tradition. Not that tradition is not a wonderful thing. I thank God for the glorious heritage that I've had in the Assemblies of God. I thank God for the tradition of the glorious move in the Lutheran Church, in the Baptist Church, in the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, right on down unto our own Assemblies of God denomination. Yes, thank God for tradition. You all know that I'm a great believer and I thank God for it. However, sometimes we let tradition be our God instead of our servant. And history tells us that time and time again that every denomination eventually has died. And someday, if the Lord will tarry, the Assemblies of God will take the course of all of the denominations. And God will have to raise up a different person for one reason. Because basically we say, we had a glorious future. We used to worship this way. We did it this way and that's it. And I might look back and say, thank God for the glorious day of Pentecost. But I'm never satisfied with what happened yesterday. And if we as a people will not try to keep a lid on it and label everything maybe as heresy just because it was not the way that it was done 10 years ago, did you know that God may try to teach us and lead us into an end time revival that is unparalleled? Did you know now that now the power of the Holy Spirit is reaching out among all denominations? Denominational barriers are not important. This is not the church. This is a fellowship. This is the Westside Assembly of God Church. But the Bible said that the church is made up of living stones. What is a living stone? You and I are a living stone. In this great fellowship, there are Catholic living stones today, filled with the Holy Spirit. There are Baptist living stones, Lutherans, Presbyterians, and even Assembly of God living stones. Say amen for that now. What I'm trying to say is, he said he would build his church. And the church is the believers that are stretched across the Quad Cities. There is a movement today to unite the church. I don't mean uniting the denominations, because that thing is not of God. And the Bible said that that would perhaps even be the heart itself, trying to bind the church under one name and one purpose. That's man's business, and man's business fails. But there's something about the power of the Holy Spirit that has been a unifying thing. Who would ever believe that Catholics and Protestants, who would ever believe that all denominations that once almost despised one another have been drawn together until today? I often feel more at home with a Catholic brethren or a Lutheran that's been filled than I do the members of our own congregation. Why? They are filled with a newness of the power of the Holy Spirit. Say a good amen. I believe in discipleship. I believe that discipleship is the bridge to relationship. And I believe that you cannot have relationship, rather discipleship, without having a wonderful relationship with someone. You see, Jesus chose 12 disciples that they might be with him. One of the reasons that communism has been such a success is they have taken a page out of the New Testament. And they've actually used New Testament methods to reach the world. The tragedy of the Church of Jesus Christ is that we fail to do basically and elementary what Jesus told the church to do. When Jesus finished his ministry, he did not say, go and preach only. But he said, go and make disciples. And then he said, teach those disciples to do what I did. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I command. What did he command? He commanded us to go, to teach, to preach, to baptize, and to teach these new converts to do likewise. And the reason the church of yesterday reached the entire known world of their day was because they did what Jesus told them to do. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul said, you teach others, that they may in turn teach others. Ladies and gentlemen, that is God's plan for the church. God is not only interested in you coming to church and hearing a sermon. God wants you to become a disciple who will make disciples, who will teach them to make disciples, and they in turn remake disciples. If the church could recapture this New Testament Christianity, communism would become a wasism. Because the church of Jesus Christ could and can take the world if we continue to reproduce in the lives of believers. That's fantastic. Say a good amen. For instance, if I would invest my life in one person and make him a disciple, I'm not talking about just a decision. I'm talking about a disciple. And the two of us, the men I want and myself, would invest our lives the following year in one person each. We would have four people the next year. And if these four people, these three would unite with me and invest their lives in one life and disciple one more the next year, we'd have eight disciples. From eight would go to 16. From 32 would go to 64. On and on and on, are you listening to me? In 33 years, the whole world would be one to Jesus Christ. If just one man would be his disciples. Now tonight I want to talk to you about a design for discipleship. I used to think that it was what you knew that qualified you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But Paul said in Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1 and 2, knowledge puffs up. He said, love fills up. Oftentimes you look at a man and he looks the same from the outside. That's why God said that man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside. You'll say, isn't it important how you look on the outside? Certainly it's important. The Bible said that we ought to be justified before men and justify before God. And man only sees what he sees from the outside. A change from the inside ought to expose a change in the outside. But you know, I've known a lot of people that have the ministry of pins and needles. And by the way, that's not one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many know that? Amen. It's a self-appointed ministry. And if you look at them, they seem spiritual. But my friends, this look only puffs up. And you wait till Sister Sandpaper comes along and does a job on that. If you are full, you could really be fooled by these people. But if a man is full of agape love, let Sister Sandpaper come by and do a job on them. You know what happens to them? They just love her more. And by the way, the Bible said you would know them by the love that they showed in their heart. Look, love does not easily pop off. Love does not easily get offended. Love will not take rebuke. Love is not the type of thing that doesn't have time for people's opinion. It cuts them off and says that it. Love endures. It is kind. It turns the cheek to the other side. That's why Paul is saying, it is not what you know. It's who you know. It's the relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not what you say. It's not what you do. It's not what you are that counts. It's what you are in the sight of the Almighty God that counts. You see, God disciples each of us, and those he disciples, he disciplines. The Bible said that those that the Lord loves, he chastens. The psychiatrists tell us one of the reasons young people are so insecure is because they have never had sufficient discipline. The Bible said of Jesus, and he's our example, that he learned to obey by what he suffered. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, that's just, you must suffer like Jesus suffered, and you must follow his example. Willing to suffer as Jesus suffered. I could not understand how my dad said, son, I love you. The reason I spank you is because I love you. I thought that's a strange way of expressing his love. Matter of fact, he used to say, son, it hurts you more when I hurts me more than it hurts you. I never could understand that. He said, when you have a boy, you'll know what I mean. I got a boy, and I still don't believe it hurt him more than it hurt me. Amen. No, the truth is now, I understand it. The truth is, my children probably often need a spanking when they don't get it. So as Christ suffered, he wants me to be involved and willing to bear the cross for Jesus Christ. There is a price to pay for discipleship. Let's take a look at the life of Jesus on his disciples. First of all, Jesus' birth was one of the most unique. It was the most unique birth that ever took place. Why? Because the Bible said he was born of Mary, but conceived of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was his father. Now, if you're going to be a disciple, you, like Jesus, since we must follow Jesus, must have a spiritual birth. I'm talking about being born again. I'm talking about regeneration. And the principle that applied to Jesus' birth also applies to your birth. What were those principles? The Bible said that an angel came and said, be it unto me accordingly thy word. Second, Jesus was confirmed. He was confirmed, first of all, at the river of Jordan. Second, he had a double baptism. He was baptized by John. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Second, he was confirmed by man by his baptism. But he was also confirmed by his Father. For a dove came down and the God from heaven spoke out, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now I want you to hear me good, because this is a principle you need to hear tonight. Because of this, we do not have to promote ourselves. Promotion comes from God. Promotion comes from the Lord. A man's gift will make room for him. You see, the way to find it is to lose your life. It may seem like a paradox, but the way up is down humbly before God on your knees. The way to become a leader, are you listening to me, is to become a servant. The way to become great is to serve. For the greatest among you, the Lord said, is one who serves. And when you are confirmed by God, you will be recognized by God. God doesn't need pushers. God doesn't need position seekers. God does not people wanting the seat or the name. He wants people who are willing to lay down their lives, to deny themselves, to take up their cross, to bear the yoke. You see, God is not so concerned about your ability, but he is concerned about your availability. So Jesus was confirmed by God and by man. Now here's a danger in this business I'm going to talk to you about tonight. I want you to hearken to the danger I speak of. There is a danger in advancing leaders too quickly. Let me illustrate. The Apostle Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. And God told Ananias, that great old prophet, to tell Paul this. Chapter 9, verse 5. You are a chosen vessel, Paul, unto me to bear my name among the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. Man, what an excitement. The Holy Spirit said, Paul, I want you to preach to kings, to the Gentiles, to the children of Israel. I want you to evangelize everybody. Brother, if that had been me, I'd hit it off as fast as I could to take up the charge. But what happened? Paul, for the next few years, got lost. 3 years he went to the backside of the desert. The principle here is what God approves. He proves. I want you to sit with me. What God approves, he proves. Sit loud. What God approves, he proves. There's another danger here. There was no question that he was a chosen vessel. But yet God put him 3 years in the desert. But if he hadn't put him in the backside of the desert, we wouldn't have the book of Romans, Ephesians, Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, and Timothy. No, he didn't like it in the wilderness. Nobody does. And Wednesday night, I'm going to preach on a subject entitled The Ministry of Angels. Until I got in this business, I didn't know angels were so magnificent. I didn't realize what they were doing. Oh, I've been walking on clouds for the last few days when I've been thinking about the ministries I've got into the Word on angels. This teaching, I believe, will revolutionize your life. And did you know that one of the jobs of angels, now I'm not going to preach my sermon, is to watch after people when they get involved in a new ministry that's going to be used for God? Even after new Christians for a while. But after that, until they get equipped with a word, the angels are even looking. And I believe God, the danger won't be at the offset of this thing. The danger will be after we have been getting our weapons. And if we don't learn how to use the weapon of the Word of God, come on, say a good amen. See? A new Christian, they get saved and they get on fire. The first love and the first joy. Oh, they feel like they could leap over a wall, and I forget how that goes. I mess it up every time, so I'm not going any further. But all the joy, the exhilaration. 3 months later, they come up crying like that dear person that came to me, Brother Barnett. The devil's road didn't bother me. And he said, when's the devil going to leave me alone? I never have the heart to tell him when he'll leave. Because the truth is, he will never leave you. But Paul's greatest revelations came in the wilderness. I kind of like feel like David looked back over his life. He's an old man now. And he said, God, thank you for the broken bones. I'm sure he didn't say it at the time. I'm sure he said, why, God? Why do you allow this thing? As I look back over my life now, what I thought were the mountains were actually the valleys. And what I thought was the valleys were really mountain peaks. I learned some lessons in the wilderness. Now, God doesn't intend for you to stay in the wilderness. You can stay there 40 days like Jesus. Or 40 years like the children of Israel. Some of you people could give guided tours in the wilderness. You've been there so long. Amen. You know every mountain. You know every rock. You know every crag. Put up a sign and say, guided tours through the wilderness. But you don't have to stay there. God has the way out of the wilderness. Come on, say amen. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is follow. You see, if God's hand is upon you, you don't mind being alone for a while. If God's hand's up on you, you don't even mind being unrecognized for what you do. If God's approval is upon you, man's recognition will be yours, although that's not important. My mother used to tell me as a small boy, God raises up who he wants to. He puts down who he wants to. It is God that gives the increase. It is God that takes away. I'm speaking to men and women here tonight that have great leadership ability that you didn't know you had. You don't have talent, but the honest, simple truth is the men that God is really using in the world are usually men with little talents. They have character.
Talent leans upon talent. Education turns to education. Money turns to influential friends to help it. But character knows that it doesn't have all these things, so it just has to be diligent. I wouldn't give you a dime hiring a man on my staff for his talent, although we thank God for consecrated talent. But I give you every penny for a man's character. You listen to me. God's looking for people with character. God will raise you up. Let God's promises be yours. I've seen men and women promoted so fast that they couldn't take the blessing when they got there. They didn't have to go through the wilderness. They bypassed it. God gave them a great ministry. Went to their head. It destroyed them. God tried to bless them financially. It ruined them. Look at Jesus after his baptism. What did he do? The Bible said he was led in the wilderness to pray. Whatever God approves, he proves. The people of North Korea, Brother Cho told us, South Korea live under great, great tension. And especially since Mr. Carter has announced that he would like, if he has his way, to pull the American troops out of South Korea. We heard Brother Cho stand up there and say, we love America. They've been our friends and our allies. We're the only place in the world that they don't say, Yankee, go home. We want them to stay. Tears streaming down his cheeks, he said, if Mr. Carter takes the armed forces out of North Korea, they'll come down on us tomorrow and destroy us. They'll drive chopsticks through our children's ear to ear like they have done in the past. You want him to tell us that his city's only 5 minutes away by jet from the communists coming across the border. 5 minutes. It's 30 miles from Seoul, Korea, to the border of North Korea. By the way, I'd like to encourage all the Christian friends to write Mr. Carter in the name of humanity that he's pushing so hard and say, if you care about the Christians in South Korea, keep the troops in North Vietnam. You'll say, preacher, you ought not get on politics. Well, when you preach, don't get on politics then. Amen. But I feel I need to speak out. Come on, say a good amen. You see, we've got some brothers, and he said to us, we've been so worried and so worried. But finally, one day, we built an old prayer mountain that overlooked the North Korea. And we decided that we can't put our confidence in Mr. Carter. We can't trust the United States of America. But he said, we decided to put our confidence in God. And boy, they built an old prayer mountain up there. I got so inspired, I drove up today and tried to find a lot on top of that hill up there. I mean it. I'm serious. Man, I thought I'd like to build a tabernacle here dedicated to prayer so we could look over the Quad Cities. It's not a bad idea. Come on, say amen. You need to sharpen up and be a little live. Take imagining. Amen. You need to dream. Come on, say a good amen. Matter of fact, you start looking too. Go ahead and buy it and donate it. Amen. Wouldn't it be a great place to have kind of an A-frame building with glass in front of it dedicated to prayer where 24 hours people, I'd like to be able to see the city. I like to see the city. Jesus liked to see the city. How many realize that? And he'd go on top and look up on the city and he'd wait for the city. You see, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The principle being what God approves, he proves. And if you're not willing to go into the wilderness, if you're not willing to go through the valley of experience, you'll never ever amount to anything for God. Moses, 40 years in the desert. That was quite a long Bible school training. How many realize that? David, he was anointed of the Holy Spirit by Samuel, king of Israel. Yet for several years he was chased like a pup in the wilderness. Whatever God approves, he approves. Hey, here's another principle for leadership positions. Leadership positions should not be given to novices. The Bible said, lest he be lifted up with pride and will fall in condemnation. The Bible said, let the deacons also first be proved. You young Christian, I see great potential in some of you. if you're willing to endure the hardship and the shame for Jesus Christ. What he approves, he approves. Hey, that's even true in the spiritual realm. That's why I believe that when the gifts are operating in the church, I believe personally, and the great Bible scholars to the T almost agree, that it ought to operate in the framework of our own church, our members. So we will know and be able to judge. By the way, most of the gift operated through the elders, if you read in the Bible. Through the leadership of the church. Lest some strange person come in, unaware. This is biblically, this is sound. And what about personal prophecies? By the way, I have been so disturbed by people who give personal prophecies that distress people, because the purpose of prophecy is to exalt and unify and lift up the church. When there is a personal prophecy, the Bible said it ought to be judged by the elders. The gifts are wonderful. I've had to do too much of the dirty work and go up and clean up after someone with a personal prophecy. And if you give a personal prophecy to a person that they need to quit their job and take their family and go preach the gospel, you ought to be ready to feed them if they starve, if you make that prophecy. You see, God is a God of diligence. He does not work in a haphazard manner. And I know people who are sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. Prophecy. Wonderful in the church. Matter of fact, in the public services, according to the Word of God, prophecy is even exalted higher than tongues and interpretations. They usually obtain the same end. Men understand it. Now, when the believers get together in your prayer life, you speak as unto God. And I'm saying that God often uses tongues and interpretation. That's the thing that he uses most in this church. But I'm saying that prophecy too should be exalted even to a high position. If you believe it, say a good amen. I encourage you, pray in tongues every day. The Bible said it exalts, it lifts you up. It edifies you when you pray in tongues. And so prophecies played a great part in the history of this church. We've had a few prophecies about our church. Matter of fact, I think four prophecies have come to this from this pulpit from men of God. Each time they were not seemingly the super spiritual type of person. They just one that let God speak to them in a wonderful matter of fact way. You remember when Brother Gail Jackson was here? In the old building over there, the Spirit of God came upon him one night, and he said during his announcement, I believe what I'm about to say, was he wasn't even preaching, is a prophecy. I like to prophesy that the greatest personalities and preachers and personalities of America will preach in this church. And this church will win this city and reach this city with thousands of people for Christ. That's who wins in the little old building. And God sent the greatest personalities. Who's bigger personality than Johnny Cash? I don't know of anybody. Maybe Elvis Presley was, but he wasn't saved. We couldn't afford Johnny Cash, but he came free. Everybody thanks God for prophecy. Say a good amen. Roxanne Brandt, a lady. The Lord can use ladies. How many believe that? I heard a definite feminine voice raise up. Of course, the Bible especially said in the last day, he'd pour out his Spirit upon the handmaidens. You know why I believe? I believe God's first plan was for men to minister because they're the leaders of the home. That used to weigh. But I believe in the last days a job's going to be so big that he's going to need men and women and boys and girls and everybody to get the job done. Say a good amen. And always to the Bible. Often women had to go because men were not faithful to the cause of Jesus Christ. She stood behind this pulpit. The first service we ever had here. And I got up and kind of jested and said, well, we were full. I said, I guess we're going to have to start building a new building tomorrow. And she stood up and said, you have said in jest that you would have to build. But ha ha, you will build sooner
than you think.
Wasn't many months after we was building an old bus garage. And then we just kept on building. Brother Sprague, Brother Wesley Sprague's son, came up here one day and stood behind the pulpit. It was during this saying or the announcements and said, the Lord gave me a little prophecy. I feel I have to be obedient to give. And it is, sharpen your sickles, because this church will never be the same from this day. And God began to move in a supernatural way, and a move of God, and a deeper walk with the Lord came upon our church than it ever come upon before. And people begin to fast and pray. As you all know, this week I had the privilege of being with Brother Cho, the pastor of the Seoul Korea Church. For you that were not here this morning, let me briefly tell you about the church. It has 50,000 members. They run 40,000 in church on Sunday. They have 7,000 people that were added to the membership, 7,100 and something last year. This year they are adding 1,000 members a month. And by the way, to be a member of that church, you have to pay your tithes. And still they added 1,000 a month. 74 paid pastors on the staff. 2,600 deacons. Good night. 2,600 deacons. 2,000 prayer cells. That means Bible studies and prayer groups. There are really many churches all over the city. Before he left them this time, he said, all the prayer cells are getting too big, so when I come back, I want them divided. And when we want 4,000 prayer cells. Come on, say good. Glory. I'm getting anointed on the statistics. Praise the Lord. He has a goal for 1980 to run 100,000 members of his church. What is a man of the church like that? What happens? The largest denomination in Korea is the Presbyterians. Of course, outside of the Buddhists, the Presbyterians are powerful. And yet, his church is more powerful than the Presbyterian church. The government always has his opinion first before anyone else. They will not allow him and his wife to leave the country at the same time because they're afraid of the influence it will have on the government. Prayer Mountain is literally packed sometimes with thousands of people seeing poverty-stricken South Korea, Seoul. Yet they finished a building that would seat 10,000 people. It cost $2.5 million. They built some apartments beside it. It cost $2.5 million for that. They build a world evangelisms building. They expect to evangelize all Asia and let the Americans send their people somewhere else. Say a good amen for that. I like that. It cost them $2 million to build. They build a gymnasium for the young people. It cost $500,000. The income of that church a year is $2.5 million. I heard Brother Cho preach, and I went up to talk to him. I said, Brother, you stirred me. And there's a lot of people. And Dr. Schuler was there. And Dr. Schuler was so stirred, and by the way, he's on the verge, they say, of receiving the Holy Spirit. Dr. Cho spoke in his church and so inspired him that he got up and just wept before his congregation and say, we've got to do it. Dr. Cho asked him to come to Korea and give him a little growth seminar. And he laughed in his face. And he said, me telling you how to do it? And someone said at the clinic, Dr. Schuler will probably be the man that'll introduce this to America. But as I talked to Dr. Cho, he said to me, your church, although I've never been there, I'm going to do something I've never done for a church before. I have never, ever given a personal prophecy for a church. But I feel God's Spirit upon me. Brother Cho, often God uses him in the congregation. Just point in different directions where God's doing things in lives. And he said, I feel that same Spirit. Brother Martin, he said, your church will be the church that does it in America. And he said, by 1980, you will have your 10,000 people in Sunday school. Come on, say a good amen. Amen. Now, folks, I felt that was prophecy number 4 for our church. We knew God was going to give us 10%. But no! If the Lord tarries, we've said, Lord, we give our 10% of our tithes to you. All we're asking is you give us 10% of the population. I thank God with honor. But by the way, are you all doing that? I believe if we'll all get in on that bargain at 10%, I believe we could move the hand of God. I said, I believe we could move the hand of God. I mean, God would get so excited to see a church where everybody was believing him that he'd have to say, oh my, I guess I'll have to give it to them. That bunch of Missourians and that bunch of Iowans. I believe when we get so excited and so enthused, God gets enthused. And he said, oh, hurry up, let's get this thing over with. Come on, say a good amen. And I believe we're the church that's going to do it, and I'm going to tell you why I believe it. Number one, I believe we're going to do it because we want to do it. We want to do it. Come on, say it. I said, happy to see Brother Cho. He just talked about goals and numbers. He said, when I got to 40,000, I thank God for the 40,000. I'm praying another 40,000, God. He talked numbers. No, I never heard a man in my life talk numbers. I thought I was the number champ. Amen. Oh, he said, God believes in numbers. God talks in numbers. Numbers are souls. Tell you another reason why I believe God's going to use our church to do it. Because this church loves the souls of men. Come on, say amen. There's another reason why. Because I believe you want to do what Jesus did. I believe you want to do what the Bible commands. And I believe that you all really want to be ministers. You should, because Paul said, I would that you all prophesy. Prophet is a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here's a burden on my heart. I really believe that we could go in and push and I could pull this year and we would have a little growth. Now listen closely to me. But I have always operated on the principle that if you don't take care of what you have, God won't give you more. You see, this church has got to line up with the Bible. And the Bible said that the sheep must know the shepherd's voice. And look, if you cannot accept what I say and the teaching and the authority of the pastor of this church and the pastors, if you will not hear our voice, you are not our sheep. And as much as I love you and love for you to stay here, go find you a man that you'll listen to his voice, that you can follow. That's good teaching. Say a good amen. Seconds. The shepherd ought to know the sheep, the Bible said, by name. That seems to be a paradox. There is no one in the world I can know 10,000 people by their name. And yet it's God's plan for church to grow. You read it. Churches grew into the thousands. If a church is going to do what God commanded them to do, they'll have to grow. And by the way, they never split up. By the way, you don't cut the head off. You divide the cells. The trouble with so many churches, they divide and they split. All the head transplants, not what we need, a head cut off. We need to divide up in cells. Then, Pastor, how can you know everybody by name? Now, listen closely to me. I love growth, but I want between every stone that's laid in this church, there to be some good more. And the only way I can know every one of our people by name
is to do what Jesus and his disciples and Moses did. Train men. Teach them. Teach them God's word. Gather with them. Relate with them. And then send them out to minister to the people that we have. And they in turn would know their names and call them by name. And minister to them, and through them, relating back to us the needs. That was the Bible way of them taking care of. If I may use the term that has been so misused, under shepherds. To work in the vineyard, to work in the herd, to work in the sheep and get the job done. What I'm saying is, I'd like to give every one of these people that get saved their name to a prayer group that would go to their home and say, you come and we want to teach you the word and we want to relate with you. Dr. Cho says the unsaved come to the homes even with their cigarettes, and we let them smoke the cigarettes and we start praising God and we start worshiping the Lord in those homes, and suddenly God begins to deal with their hearts. All their people are filled with the Holy Spirit in the homes. People are healed in the homes. People are saved in the homes. Every prayer group is bringing so many people. By the way, the prayer group that grows the most, you know what they let them do? I'm not going to tell you. You may do it. That was a bad choice, wasn't it? I'm going to skip over that. I'll tell you, if anyone grows real big, I'll tell you. Amen. Say a good amen. How many are curious? Come back next Sunday. Amen. You know what I see for our church? I see us breaking down our congregation. I'm going to encourage every one of you to get in one of those cells or fellowship group. I don't know what we're going to call it yet. If you don't, you will not be condemned. Your first will be faithfulness to this church. But we're going to start with every new person that gets saved. Every Bible study is going to walk there to get their friends to come and get saved. They'll be a feeder of this church. You ever stop to think? No church has ever made it work in America. One church has 50 cells, and their church is the one that's right behind us this year. Orlando, Florida. They are growing. They now have 3 morning services. Can you say a good amen for that? And still, I don't believe they've ever captured what can be done for God. Let me just show you. Already this has sprung up in our church. That's why I know it works. It's been going in some areas for 2 years. Let me give you an example. Brother Carper, stand up. Brother and Sister Carper, both of you stand up. These people start a prayer meeting after the Lundstroms were here. Stand up. I want everyone that goes to their prayer group to stand to their feet. Everyone that attends their prayer group, stand, 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 stand. This is just a few. Look, look all over here. Praise God. These people, how many of you are standing, got saved directly or indirectly because of that Bible study? Raise your hand real high. All right. Praise God. Can you say a good amen for that? You may be seated. That's not it. These people went out and they brought others here, this church. How many of you are here that don't attend the Bible study, but these people were responsible, just these that stood, to winning you to the Lord? Raise your hand. Stand up. I want them to see. Come on. Stand up. I want them to see. Come on. Praise God. Stand up. I want them to see. They were one. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering for that. Amen. Be seated. Mary Carnes, stand up. A lady that felt ready to get a Bible study. She's in the balcony. Turn around and look. There's Mary. Wave at me, Mary. They'll see your hand anyway. She got a bunch of kids together and started a Bible study. She wasn't even coming to this church at the time. None of them were coming to this church. They got on fire for God and they began to turn. And they begin to drift down here one by one. I want everybody in that prayer group that filled her down from that Bible study. Besides, there are in other churches too. This is just the overflow we got from that Bible study. Stand up. Everyone that attended her. Give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. Now, keep standing just a minute. Keep standing. I'd like for all the others out there that these people either brought you to church and you got saved, or they led you to the Lord, or through these people, directly or indirectly, you found the Lord. Raise your hand up. These people either led you. Stand up. Stand up for them. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Just a few weeks ago, in my breakfast at the Holiday Inn, a few months ago, Brother Bullock got saved. His wife been praying for him for a long time to find the Lord, and he gloriously got saved. Stand up, Brother and Sister Bullock. They got so excited, they started a Bible study. Remain standing just a minute. I want every one of you that attend their Bible study to stand up here in this church. Come on, stand up, all of you that attend. Okay, I want all of you that these people have brought to the church, and you have been won because of Brother and Sister Bullock, to raise your hand. And that's in a few weeks. Let's praise God. Give him a good clap offering. Brother Judd McClellan. Kluman. Brother Judd. From Phoenix. He was saved at a church that only had prayer groups. And they would meet maybe once on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Only Sunday night they'd come together. They had nothing but Bible studies, and God used it. And he came with a burden on his heart, and he started one himself. I want him and his wife to stand up. I want everyone that attends their Bible study to stand up. Remain standing. I want others of you, you that have been saved because directly or indirectly because of someone in that Bible study or through that, raise your hand. Either standing or sitting. All of you that are seated, stand up back there. And you raise your hands real high. Stand up. All of you that were saved there, stand up. Stand up all over the place. Praise God. Keep standing. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Come on, let's say a good amen. This group's only been going a few weeks. Do you want to say something? I thought you did. You had your hand up here praising the Lord. Now, I just sit here and begin to think about it. This is only a few. Bible studies are going on all over this church. But see, what we want is not independence, but interdependence. And I want to say right now that not one of these people have ever given us trouble. They've only been a blessing. They've only brought joy. That's why I believe in us so much. If they'd have been contentious and cantankerous, and I wouldn't have believed. I've been slow. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't want any spiritual lone rangers. The day is past where the pastor sings the song, prays the prayer of faith, makes the hospital calls. What I want to do is take the ministry alone out of this pulpit and put it up on you. There are some of you men, and you'll draw your own kind each Bible. Some of you are cracked professional people. You say, preacher, I'm not qualified. Come, and we're going to teach you. Others of you will draw a simple class of people. Some are educated, some are uneducated. Every one of you has a chance. That's not all. We've got men who want to minister. Not up here. Every one of us from kneel down. That's not all. We have a church full of men that God has used in all over the country and in this place that want to do work for Jesus. If you'll just open your home, they will come and be the minister in your home. You know what I see? If you folks will say, Pastor, I'll be available. That's the problem. Nobody wants to be available. Everybody wants the Lord's army to go forward, but no one wants to march. I want you to come next week, and we are going. You see, about 2 years ago, I got this same burden of the Lord. I didn't know people were doing this, but I knew we had to do something. I knew God wanted to use it. We tried to get some men together, but I didn't know what I was doing. And that's why I went to Los Angeles. There were no books or anything now. But we know the plan. We got the greatest organizer in the world putting it together, Brother Harold Heffelfinger. It's going to be a lot of paperwork. We're going to need some volunteer secretaries and so on. But I want everyone that walks in Westside to be cared for, to be loved, to feel that someone cares about them when their heart beats and bleeds. I want to encourage you people, and we're going to have a list, a great big list of all the prayer groups in the bulletin soon that are going to be in operation. We will approve whether you can have a Bible group or not. There'll be certain qualifications that'll be laid down. And then we're going to go. I can see your groups meeting, blessing, and then as we come to the great united sessions together, when the church gets together. I can see us packing this old place on Sunday morning. I've got a dream for years that Sunday morning would look like a Billy Graham crusade at Westside. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but there's something churning inside. Glory, will somebody say amen out there now? I can see God using this church to minister. Yeah? I really believe. I look out and see men that want to preach the gospel. I shouldn't call names because I'll miss some of the most. I look at Brother Craig Canterbury. God's going to use that man greatly in the ministry. But this may be the very starting place where God lets him build a great prayer group. Look, I look at the men up in the balconies that run the bus ministry. They can still minister in this area. It's during the week. There'll be no set night. This will give you a minister to the adults that you'll need so vitally. I see you new converts, you new people. All you need is a desire to do it for God. God will give you the rest. Oh, hallelujah. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, we believe that this revival we've been talking about, that God would send, that would reach to the uttermost corners of this old city. We believe it's here. It's now. Oh God, you've been impressing upon my heart more than ever before that every member of Westside be so careful. I want them to be aggressive for Jesus, but Lord, don't help them not to turn people off by their lies. Lord, I pray that you'll give every staff member and every prayer group leader, every bus worker, all give us a spirit of boldness and yet a kind, loving spirit that'll even take when we don't supposed to take, but we always supposed to take. Lord, Lord, let people see Jesus and so much in our folks all over town that it won't be the preaching, but it will be their lives. When they walk in those prayer groups, let the Spirit of God be so real. I believe we're going to hear miracles taking place in the prayer groups. Lord, I believe you're going to raise up some of the greatest ministers and pastors in the world right here. They've waited too long to go to Bible school. Maybe they're too old to go in the ministry, they feel. They've got roots and children. They wouldn't know where to start. But God, this is their opportunity to do something for thee, Lord. Oh, let it happen. Let it happen. Let it happen, God. It will have to be a move of the Holy Spirit. I feel led that everyone in this audience ought to just turn around right now and kneel in your seat. Everybody. Everybody. Close your eyes. I'm going to pray right now. I want you to be in tune with God as I pray. I want you to let God come down upon you tonight. I believe people are going to be healed right between their seats. I believe that a supernatural wave of the Holy Spirit is about to sweep this audience right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus that conquers all things, we come now, God, facing one of the greatest ventures, actually, we're starting an adult and bus ministry, minus buses. We're going to care and love and minister. Oh God, let everyone kneeling determine they'll go home and pray. Oh, they'll pray. They'll pray for this operation, Lord. I pray that everyone shall be open. And Lord, we know all the powers of enemies are going to come against this operation. But you gave us the power for binding and loosing. Therefore, we bind the power of Satan, who would like to sabotage this from the beginning. I bind Satan's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. By loose upon this congregation and this city the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Let your angels, even before we study about it, begin to flutter out. Let it begin to soften the people's heart. Let these people begin to even talk to people. Even before they come, let them begin to talk about starting a Bible study. And Lord, they won't be able to depend upon the people of the church for their ministry. Many of them will come, but Lord, help them to go out and get their friends that need Jesus. I pray that the people who attend this church will cooperate, because these people starting the studies will need them, especially first to come and create the atmosphere and worship and sing and pray with them. Oh God, let's raise our hands and praise God all over this place. Come on, put them up high. Let's praise the Lord. Let's thank you for what He's going to do in this congregation. Everybody, be obedient. Let's put our hands up real high right now. Let's begin to thank God that Satan has been bound in our city. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise Thee. Hallelujah. We thank You that Satan's power has been bound. We thank You that Jesus breaks every fetter. And He sets us free. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Lord, help us to go out realizing it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. Raise up ladies, God. Raise up men. Raise up husbands and wives. Raise up young cell groups throughout this city. And oh God, let us begin to see what we've hungered and prepared and prayed for and believed for. Let us believe that it's a reality. I want you all to raise your hands. I've never asked you to do it. And I want you to shout for joy for what God's going to do. Come on, shout real loud. Hallelujah. The victory's won, God. Walls of Jericho fall. Victory is ours. Liberation is ours. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, use our deacons to go to these homes and teach. Put Your hand upon them right now and let them be an instrument in the leadership of this church, a spiritual leader of God. Let the teachers rise up, God. Let the bus workers make leaders out of the leaders. God, deliver people from habits right now. Glory. Hallelujah. I believe, claim it right now. Just quit that old smoking habit right now. Let's ask God to help us. Lord, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I want everybody that wants God to fill them with the Holy Spirit, because you need to be filled with the Spirit if you're going to be a leader. I want you to stand up and follow Ted right through that door. God's going to give them those 27 people to fill with the Holy Spirit. If you've been saved but have not been filled, this is your night. Everybody stand. We'll make it easy for them to come. Come on, stand all over this building. I want you to raise your hand. It's only 9 o'clock. I'm getting as long-winded as our guest. You know it? Amen. Just sing hallelujah. I want everyone that wants God to fill them with the Holy Spirit. You're saved. You want power to witness. Oh, what a flock we're going to have. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Keep coming. God's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I want you to sing it with me. Hallelujah.